We hear that line in the gospel tonight right at the beginning that says, as Jesus moved along to the next place, he was accompanied by his disciples. We are in this season that we call the ordinary time, the ordinary season of the church. And really what is ordinary about it is the season of growth. We're wearing our green vestments. There's green everywhere to remind us, just like the season we are living in around us, things are growing. It's getting past time for planting. We're not at harvest. It is time for growth. And so the scriptures, week after week during this season, are inviting us to accompany Jesus as he is walking around the cities and the villages of Galilee. It says his disciples are accompanying him along the way. And we're invited to take our place along with the disciples. And during this season, it's a time for us really to take stock of our own growth. How are we growing in our faith? What is the status of our own following the Lord? What is the sights and the sounds and the words that Jesus is saying to some, healing others, lifting up others? How is that speaking to us now? What does the Lord's word have to say to us? And in this week, we're invited to consider that aspect of faith called a prophetic faith. You know, we don't talk so much about prophecy in our church. We don't proclaim it. We don't say much about it. If you were to come after Mass and we have people sign up, we don't have places where you can sign up as a prophet. You can't really volunteer for it. And yet the scriptures are filled with references to prophets and prophecy. We hear today that Jesus allows that term to be applied to him, one of the only terms. He somehow resonates with this identity of being prophet. In the early church, prophecy is considered one of the three primary offices of leadership, along with apostles and teachers and prophets. And when we were baptized, and when we are baptized, we are baptized as priests, prophets, and kings as Jesus was. So there is something about prophetic faith, the characteristic of prophecy, that is not just for a few. It is the character of what does it mean to live the life in the Lord. And so we're invited to consider a little bit about what does it mean to live with a prophetic faith, and what is it calling from us. And if you look at the characters that are presented to us, Ezekiel and Paul and Jesus, prophetic figures, one of the things that you will see and will hear is that to have a prophetic faith is to live with a faith that is born from conviction. To live not based on emotion, not based on accomplishment, and surely not based on approval, but that we are convicted by the vision of what we have seen in terms of how God looks at the world, God's vision for the world, and that we have become convicted by that vision. Ezekiel, today we hear about his call, and for days on end, he is given privy to a vision of God's glory and God's plan for the world and God's dream for how the world and how we are to be with one another. And he has become so convicted by that vision that it becomes the place from which he begins to see everything. To begin to look at the world now, to begin to work at his life, to begin to look at his ministry from the point of view of God's view. How would we see the world, the problems of the world, if we were to look at it from God's point of view? Some years ago, I had a chance to teach in our seminary mission theology to our seminarians, and part of our time is we'd go down to the U.S.-Mexican border in El Paso, Texas. And we'd spend time there for 3 days just crossing back and forth across the border. But before we did anything, our leader would take us up to this mountain above where the border is. And then he says, look at this whole pass, this whole region of the valley, the Rio Grande Valley. And he'd ask us to look at it and say, now as you look at this, where does the U.S. end and Mexico begin? And we couldn't tell. We just know that this El Paso is that great pass from the north to the south that has been there. People have gone that way for thousands of years. And that valley. And then he said, before we go down to the border itself, with all of its complexities and the pain of that border, I want you to see it from God's point of view first. So we start there. And then we begin to move in and deal with what's in front of us. The prophet is one who is tuned in to seeing the world from God's point of view and allowing that to begin to shape the way that they live their life. So the other aspect of the prophetic faith is often we hear stories of prophets who are asked to eat the word, literally eat the scroll, it says. Ezekiel put a scroll of God's word in his mouth and he ate it, and he didn't just taste it, he digested it. It's a very concrete image of not just listening to God's word, but allowing it to digest it, to allow it to become part of us, and to allow it to begin to shape the way we live our lives. That we don't just stand and say, well, that's interesting, but to allow that word to begin to shape the way we live, and the way we move, and the way we speak, and the way we behave with one another. In our own Catholic faith, we have a tradition that's sometimes called the best kept secret, which is what we call our own Catholic social teaching. Teachings that are rooted in principles that we are all children of God and that we all have dignity. And because of that dignity, it impacts the way we treat one another, the way we work, the way we play, the way we spend our money. And I think this idea of living out of this prophetic faith, to allow it to take root in our lives, that it will indeed shape the way we live. And we will be surely not always in line with the way the world sees it. We hear Jesus and prophets say that in God's way of looking at the world, the blind will see, the hungry will eat, the naked will have clothes. There will be enough for everybody. There will be peace on our borders. And so if we believe that this is God's view for the world, what might it look like? How can we begin to live that reality here and now, despite whatever the situation might be, to allow that vision to shape our lives? And the third aspect of the prophetic faith that we hear today, not so much in Ezekiel, but in Jesus and in Paul, is that if you are going to live the life of a prophetic faith, you will be guaranteed to experience failure, to experience rejection. Paul calls it the thorn in his side. There is something that is going on in Paul's life. We don't know what it is, but it is getting in the way of his ministry. It's embarrassing to him. He's ashamed of it. And he's tried to do everything. He's prayed. He's done. It does not go away. It's causing him to be an embarrassment to the people he ministers to. And so he begins to see that this thorn, which he thought was an obstacle, is becoming a teacher in his life. So any success that he has, it's not by anything that I've done. My only power that I have is my weakness. I've been a failure everywhere he goes. He boasts to the Corinthians that, you know what I can boast? I've been in prison. I have been assaulted. I have been kicked out of more towns, including Corinth. This is what I'll boast about. That somehow in my vulnerability and being faithful to the vision of God, not the approval of this moment, that somehow I am being successful because I'm being obedient. Because he says, I am so convicted by the resurrection of Christ. that I can't help myself. It is the source of my life. And no matter what I feel or what success or failure, it really doesn't matter, because my faith is in Christ who saved me. And so we're invited to, as we gather around the table of the Lord with the disciples, to take our place at the table of this banquet of God's view of the world. As we celebrate the mysteries of our faith, and we come and receive this mystery of communion, that we not just taste it, but that we would consume it, that we allow it to take its part in our life, that vision of communion that God has for the world might take root in the way we live our lives. And that if we can be true to that, not out of any pride, but that it allows us to live in this world, no matter how it is, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, that we put our faith in the one who has revealed this to us. It is true, and it is life, and God is active here and now. Let us put our faith in that word, and then go forth into the world, loving and serving the Lord.